Well, good morning, everyone. I don't know about you, but after being in our other church building over there, it seems kind of hard to walk here on this flat floor. Now, you may wonder sometimes why it is that God wanted us to count off 50 days between the days of unleavened bread and now. Well, one of the reasons is that from the time Israel left Egypt and got to Mount Sinai where they got the Ten Commandments, they had to walk. And it took them almost exactly 50 days to walk that far. So if you look on a map, you'll see that the distance between Egypt and where they were was just about the distance between here and Columbia, or maybe a little further. And you say, well, you know, I could have probably walked that in less time than that. But you may not have been able to walk that far if you had to take all your kids and all your belongings and carry them. And not only that, but you had all of St. Louis with you. And the whole bunch of you was trying to go through there and feed their cattle and carry their belongings. And so it would take a while. Now, after Israel crossed over the Red Sea, it took almost 6 weeks for them to get on to Mount Sinai. And it was at this time that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. And we'll read verses 5 and 8. Exodus 19 and verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And then verse 8. And then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And so Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Well, unfortunately, the only time Israel ever even partially kept their end of the bargain with God was during the reign of Solomon and Hezekiah. Now, while the people of Israel were slaves in the lands of Egypt, for the most part, they began to worship the gods of Israel, the sun gods, Isis and Osiris. It seemed they had to have a god they could see. They kept turning back to this god time after time. If you're looking at Judges now, chapter 2, and verses 11 through 17. Judges 2, we'll start in verse 11. And then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Asherah. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers who spoiled them, and sold them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot and other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. You see, although the book of Judges shows that about every third generation they would turn from God, and he would withdraw his blessings from them, then soon they would be persecuted by neighbors to the point that they would cry out to God for help. They would then turn back to God for a couple of generations and then do it all over again. It seems that we're a bunch of really slow learners in this world. You see, if you look around, you can see that we're doing the very same thing. Now, by the time Jesus came on the scene, it was pretty clear to God that the people here on earth did not have what it takes to keep his laws on their own. We'll turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when Jesus was about to return to heaven, he gave the instructions to his disciples that they should stay in Jerusalem until Pentecost. Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 through 9. And being assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. You see, the people in the temple, they didn't have to wait very long. Only 10 days was in until Pentecost. And so the Holy Spirit, then it came to them in a very spectacular way in Acts chapter 2, in verses 1 through 8. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were of all one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared the divided tongues as of fire, on one set on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in his own language in which we were born? You see, the people in the temple could not believe what was happening because the apostles spoke, but everyone heard them in their own language. The people were amazed and asked, what does this mean? And so Peter told them, chapter 2 and verses 22 through 24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you've taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by them. Okay, now skip down to verse 36 through 38. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, as a result of this, some 3,000 people were baptized. It was the day when the true church of God began. There was more than 3,000 people there. So they all heard the apostles. So why were they not called? Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. Why is this? It is because few repent. And that is a requirement. Because they refuse to repent, the vast majority have not been chosen by God at this time. And instead of believing God, people tend to believe in the religions all around. Many claim they're Christians because they preach Christ's name. However, they reject God's commandments concerning the weekly Sabbath and the holy days. Instead of this present time, very few are called and chosen because very few actually believe God or Jesus Christ or believe the words in the Bible. To show this, all you have to do is watch the news on TV. You can get in a lot of trouble if you say a prayer in a public place or even mention God. The government is so afraid you might offend someone who doesn't believe in God, they have laws against it. In fact, just this last week on the news, there was the news about, I don't know whether it's a council member in one of the cities around here or somebody, but they were suing the council because the council wanted to have an opening prayer before their main, when they started their session for the summer. Well, you know, you can't get much worse than that. Now, even many who claim that they are Christian believe that they don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. They think that they've been done away with. The only ones we need to know are to love God and love your neighbor. And they don't seem to realize that that's what the Ten Commandments show. How to love God and how to love your neighbor. After all, you can't be showing much love towards your neighbor if you're robbing him or killing him. Nor is it love when you're lying to your neighbor or having an affair with their mate. But to love them as yourself, how do you do that? Well, perhaps the last commandment shows that. Do not covet is how you can love yourself. By coveting something someone has could actually cause you to do the other things, such as stealing and lying. And once you understand these things, then you can be assured that God has called you. Now let's turn now to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5. Ephesians chapter 1, starting verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to be adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. See, Jesus told the apostles that he'd chosen them, that they had not chosen him. John chapter 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he might give you. He went on to say that no one comes to the Father except through himself. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that also none can come to Christ except the Father calls him. In John chapter 6 and verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now you can see your special calling is a joint act on the part of the Father and Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of human determination or effort. And once we begin to realize that God has called us, we begin to understand what he has in store for us. And then we need to get busy using the Spirit to promote the truth of God. You see, by God's giving his Spirit to us, he expects to see some results. The same as you would if you planted an apple tree. Matthew chapter 25 and verses 14 through 30. Matthew 25, we'll start in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling in a far country. He called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had 2 received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of these servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained another 2 talents beside them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown, and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, here is what is yours. And the Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, you would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he who has abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, the day of Pentecost pictures the first harvest of the seeds, the grain of oats and wheat and barley. It also shows that those who are working with God's Holy Spirit are to be harvested on this day. And we all look forward to this time pictured by the day of Pentecost, because it is this time that we shall receive the eternal life that we've been working so hard to achieve. This will be the first resurrection mentioned in Romans chapter 8. And verses 14 through 18. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And also 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. 1 John 3, we'll start in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Now, to be eligible for this resurrection, we need to put the sin out of our lives. And this was shown to us by the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. But there's a problem here, isn't there? Just because it rolls off the tongue easily doesn't mean it's not all that easy to do. When we rid ourselves of sin, we must replace it with something, because a vacuum must be filled with something. See, Parkinson's law says that work expands to meet the time available for its completion. And while this was intended to be a little bit humorous, it's got more than just a grain of truth. You see, when I carve out a block of free time, something usually conspires to fill it up. Now, getting rid of bad habits and sin demands more than just not doing something. The vacuum carved out by refraining from doing the harmful cries out to be filled, and unless we fill it with something positive, we may find ourselves back to square one, or even worse. Let's look at Luke, then in chapter 11, and verses 14 through 26. Luke chapter 11, and start in verse 14. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. And so it was that the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. And others, testing him, sought him with a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to him, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all he has, armor in which he trusted, and divides the spoil. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. And he goes in, he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. Now maybe we ought to take a close look in depth at ourselves to see if we have allowed Satan to creep in. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So how do you take this test of examination to see if we've begun to slip away? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Galatians 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, if you don't have or are not yielding to God's spirit, there will be characteristics that will be displayed by my life that don't measure up to the spirit, that are the fruits of the spirit. The list that shows that I would be rejected if I don't change is found in Galatians 5 and verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, this is not a very complimentary list that we have here. But there's another list that shows you will be accepted and be found as a follower of Christ. And these are found if you continue on in verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, Paul offers an answer in his letter to the Ephesians, and he tells them to get rid of those bitterness, anger, and malice. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And also, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. For also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this then prevents the devil from creeping back in and gaining a foothold in our lives. Paul also wrote about the same things to the Colossians. If we look in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 8 through 15. Colossians 3, we'll start in verse 8. Now, but now you yourselves are put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if one has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you almost also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. James had some words also to say about this in James chapter 1, and verses 21 through 27. Therefore lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. In verses 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Also one last scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, once we've been given God's Holy Spirit, we must not fall away. That means we have lost the race that we have been running.